Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much, excuse me, for joining us. We are the show, as you know, that tries to get to the bottom of critical issues. And some of the things I wrote about in Ukraine, oh gosh, 7 years ago, I said Hunter Biden, vice president's son, taking biological weapons to China out of the bio labs there. And I didn't talk about Fauci. But I had his organization, Eco Alliance, involved. And now we know Fauci was part of it, too. And I published that about 3 weeks ago. And it's not I told you so statement, but this stuff has been around, but I don't think the world was ready to hear it. It wasn't until we got hit with the Wuhan flu, as I like to call it, did people say, gee, there's really something to this. Yeah, no kidding. That's what we were trying to tell you 7, 8 years ago. A whole bunch of us were talking about this, but no one wanted to pay attention. Now we're paying attention, and we've got ourselves into the beginnings of World War III. Joining us to talk about this is John Wayne, and we'll go to John in just a moment after I tell you that if you haven't listened to me about food before, you better listen to me about food now. There are three times in 24 hours, three times, twice Biden, once the UN food director, David Beasley, have said food shortages, famine, use the words interchangeably, coming. And then the World Economic Forum warned Europe that, hey, you're going to have massive migration to your borders because of famine. And let me tell you, this is not a naturally occurring consequence. Okay, this is all by design. And they haven't mentioned America, but, you know, I'd say we're probably a pretty good candidate to come get food from. So if you think we're getting 2 million, 3 million crossing the border now, you ain't seen nothing yet. So you need to get outside the system. That's the bottom line. And besides, the economy is going to collapse anyway because the dollar is in big, big, big trouble. So what should you do? Go to MPS, preparewithdave.com, 25-year shelf life. They're still holding the prices. I don't know how long they're going to be able to do that. They're still offering a sale, amazingly, on the 1, 3, and 12-month. You need to grab this now, preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you darn well better have water. And if Russia turns off the lights, turns off the power, you're going to have trouble getting water out of your tap. So what are you going to have to do? Scavenge. Well, if you don't have water filtration, you're kind of up the, you know, well, you know the saying. Okay, this is a family show. So you need your water filtration. And I believe 3 is 2, 2 is 1, 1 is none. We have 3 in our family of the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter. Because they get lost, they get stolen, and sometimes you're going to need to send out multiple people to scavenge for water. You need to get it now while you still can. They're holding the price too, but I don't know how long that's going to hold either, so you need to grab it while you can. There's also a sale involved, and amazingly, I don't know how they're doing it. Go to waterwithdave.com. So to get the filters, waterwithdave.com. To get the food, preparewithdave.com. And listen to me, our margin on these products is not big. If I was really interested in making money, we'd be selling more big-ticket items. This is advertising out of our sequence right now. And I'm doing it because I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to offer these products. And that's a fact. John Wayne, noted talk show host. And he has his own show called The Unequivocal Truth. He broadcasts from the breadbasket, or one of the breadbaskets of America, and an area where my family was from. And he has his finger on the pulse of a lot of things, and he's going to share a story today that you're going to hear Sam Arnold talk about. You say, oh, Sam, you're Latin American expert, the guy who AMLO gave refugee status to. Yes, that's Sam. Their stories are remarkably similar. They take a little different approach, but it's really scary when you get such bad, alarming news from two trusted sources. And they're using different sources themselves, but they're saying exactly the same thing. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Yeah, it's interesting seeing all the developments that have been taking place in Ukraine, and not only Ukraine, but here stateside, and then not only that, but the bantering between both sides, NATO and Russia, or the Western-backed alliances, we could say. But everything that we're being shown, as far as I'm aware of, is not on face value what it really is in reality. For how the media or the MSM, the Ministry of Smoke and Mirrors, or the, you know, how many other anagrams use, but how they're using this as a full form of propaganda to move the masses in one way or the other. And I'm seeing this in such ways, and it's amazing to see where all this is coming from and why it's happening to the degree for which it is. And it all boils down to what was found in Ukraine, and it was, you know, bioweapons labs that were being used in Ukraine to study some very serious things that could have affected people of Slavic ethnicity. So, with that being in, you know, with that being placed, you know, I want to mention this. It's important. Metabiota. I covered this last night on my broadcast. Metabiota is a company that was tied in with Hunter Biden and Seneca. What is that? Bohai Seneca or Seneca Bohai?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
the latter.
So these companies are working together, but get this. It's all to the point for which it's a big money-making scheme. I mean, this makes Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme look, you know, absolutely minuscule. You know, dollars off the top of these billions of dollars. So Metabiota is a company, and it says their mission is making the world more resilient to epidemics. Epidemics threaten lives and livelihoods around the world. We provide data, analytics, advice, and training to prepare for global health threats and mitigate their impacts. You know, and Dave, like you were saying, they're the ones that are benefiting off of all of this. They're creating the disease, they're mitigating, or quote-unquote mitigating, with extremely loose quotations, the disease, and then they're making money all on the backside of everything with everything they've developed for all of this. I mean, this is the Ponzi scheme, or the biggest crime ever committed upon humanity. I don't know where to go. Do you take it from there?
No, listen, it's a classic Hegelian dialectic, John. Problem, reaction, solution. We create the problem, we come up with the solution to get the desired control we seek.
That's right. Problem, reaction, solution. And it's almost, you know, what they're using with this is order out of chow, order out of chaos. You know, because out of chaos, they're going to be able to foment whatever they want to foment. And that falls right back on you opening this broadcast up about the food. It's not good. We're in big trouble. And they're telling this for some reason. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's so they have to avoid karmatic effect or whatever it is.
No, part of what it is, too. They're using this to open up, bringing in the fake lab meat and the bugs they're going to make us eat.
That's right. I just saw that before we come on air, seeing that they're talking about, yeah, you're going to have to start eating synthetic beef. I was sitting here reading this. Synthetic beef? What in the name of God is synthetic beef? You know, it doesn't sound anything like I want to eat. This is insane. You know, if there's anything, I mean, I don't know, is this an alien invasion? Is this the invasion of the body snatchers? I mean, what's going on here? Where did any form of normalcy go within the past, you know, 5 years? I mean, this is insane. I mean, I don't know what to say almost to a point.
Well, it's because we're under the control of the World Economic Forum, and these people are just frickin' lunatics. Klaus Schwab is maniacally, sociopathically insane. He's insane.
Well,
his right-hand man, Harari...
That's
Clay
right.
Clark came on my show and played clips of what this man was saying. He's the number one right-hand man of Klaus Schwab. And he said,
absolutely,
free will is over. We will tell you what to think, or we'll make you know what to think. And we will control your actions. And the idea of nation states is over. We control everything. This is their own words.
Humans are hackable.
Well,
that's right. Humans are hackable. As well,
yeah, that's pretty
Ferrari.
Much. He used that phrase, but that's when Clay came on my show. He started playing these clips, and I have to admit I hadn't seen the clips. I mean, I know the concepts. I don't dispute the concepts, but he was playing the clips out of their own mouth. They said these words.
That's absolutely correct. I was totally unaware of this man, Harari, until about maybe 3.5 months ago, somewhere around there. And, you know, it's interesting how all these people that we haven't heard about are kind of just coming out of the shadows. You know, Klaus Schwab, he takes orders from this Harari guy for the most part, or they kind of maybe control each other to a degree. You know, I mean, this has any James Bond novel spy, you know, Dr. Evil thing. You know, I mean, this is really something. These people have tried to kill, you know, look, over the past 3 years, this is 2019, this is 2022, they have literally went ahead and waged a war on humanity. You know, this depopulation shot, of which it is working, you know, I don't know how more blatant to be. I mean, I don't want to get killed over any of this. You know what I mean? But these are the facts. And for people that can't see it for what it is, my God, I feel sorry for you. You know, even down to the point of like what I said was taking place in Ukraine is interesting. You're not going to get anywhere near the truth with the repealing of the Smith-Munn Act, you know, allowing propagandization on the populace of the United States. Well, any country, even the Russians, on, you know, their state media is running propaganda too. But from what I'm seeing, I know where to go to get actual on-the-ground footage almost in dang near real time. And it's our Twitter page for our station, my station here, you know, where I broadcast from. And that would be twitter.com/freedom_slips. So
impressive.
What I'm seeing is... Yeah, I mean, is for what it is, it's the truth. You know, and they're saying, Putin's saying he's going to declare on May 9th an end to the war. No, I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
I'm seeing on the ground over there. You know, and this is the one other thing I want to throw in there, Dave, and I'll let you take away with, I mean, I've just thrown so much out there. a video that came out showing Ukrainian, I don't know if you would call them maybe, you know, partisans. You know, like citizens not in the full-on military or whatever it may be, or they could be in the full-on military, taking Russian POWs, shooting them in the legs, and then giving them a good merciless beating. You know, that's a war crime within its own, right? And it's against the Geneva Convention.
Well, I would agree. Two wrongs don't make a right, but
no,
the Russians
right.
are doing their fair share. When you level a city, level civilian
right.
elements of a city, that's a war crime.
Right, and I agree with you on that, and you're absolutely right. You know, both sides are going to be responsible for absolutely heinous and horrendous things, and that's why I don't see where they'd be able to just pull the plug and say, okay, yeah, we're done. May 9th, it's over. You know, no. I mean, if it does, I mean, good, great, but I don't believe it. Like you said, I mean, how can you say that that's going to be what's going to happen?
How do they know?
Right. How do they know? And if whatever they do know, you know, by God, I'd hate for something absolutely massive to happen to some Western NATO country, you know, to drag it even further, because they want this. They wanted this war. Now they've got it. They don't really know what to do with it, but they're trying to figure it out. But it's so indecisive that any move they make could literally backfire in their face as everything else they've done over the past 10 years.
Let's start with Dan Bongino. You're probably thinking, okay, what the hell is Dave talking about? I don't know if you saw his show last night. I suspect you didn't, but I saw the...
No, I didn't.
I saw the replay of it late at night. I almost fell out of my chair. He used terms like World Economic Forum, controlling world leaders, World Economic Forum, New World Order, answering to globalist forces, played clips of Biden saying New World Order, and America has to take the lead. And he did say that because I did a podcast on that 3 days ago. So I'm watching them saying, wait a minute, is this Fox or... is this a new station, new show that's on some obscure network? Because right. this ain't mainstream media. And yet it was mainstream media. Now, I kind of attribute some of this to Bongino. He said, look, we don't have to make up the words. We don't have to make up the stories. These are their words. You heard it. You heard it yourself.
Right.
So I find that really interesting in why he's allowed to do this. Now, he could be half dead from his cancer.
Right, you know, and just to the point where you know it if I don't
speak. He has nothing to lose, but he still has editors.
Hmm. Well, I mean, isn't there some kind of a rift within Fox News, within itself, between certain reporters or journalists, I guess you could say, from what I'd heard? I'm not completely down on the whole story, but I've heard that there's something going on. I haven't really looked into it.
Well, I would say that Tucker Carlson has joined the dark side. And by the dark side, I mean our side. He actually did a segment on voter fraud in Wisconsin. And I used to use this as a benchmark. How do you know Fox News is controlled opposition? When have they ever talked about voter fraud? Well, now they have.
Hmm. Well, these news agencies have to come to grips, right? And come to understand, you know, we can't continue to carry this false narrative and continue to lie.
I think Fox is the only one. Fox is the only one, though, John.
Right, absolutely. Fox is the only one. So that shows you, see, that means there's money going somewhere than to where it's not going. You know, people are being told to toe the line, tout the party narrative, and you've got this one breakaway news organization. Now, where I ask and question about all of this is they've got ways to change, well, not change, but ways to look into analytics for who's watching what, when, where, and how. Within that, you know, they're doing this on YouTube within the algorithms. Specific channels are allowed to run, so therefore the intelligence agencies can build a database on who's, you know, clicking the button to see what's going on in Ukraine or listening from this person that's kind of, you know, a little bit far right, if you want to use that spectrum, far right, and then you've got people in far left. See, they're using these, I guess you could also kind of they're honeypotting to find out who's who and who's listening to what. So therefore, they can redefine their lists, if you would.
Hey, I got to run down a rumor, but it's more than a rumor. I saw it with my own eyes. Last night, before we went to the movies and had a normal night out, I was looking at headlines, and I got the, we got to go, okay. And the headline that I was looking at, but I didn't get a chance to read it, was Swalwell's Honeypot Ark Incited. And it was on Breitbart. Do you know anything about this?
No. You know, something interesting, though, that does tie to California, I was hearing, is that there was there's talk about the election being rescinded there in California, and what I've heard is if that goes, then all the other states will literally domino effect behind California. You know, Wisconsin and, you know, Arizona down your area that way. And
I know something about this. The world works in mysterious ways. So last night on our way home from said movie, Paul Preston calls me. And he's the head of the New California Movement. He's responsible for his affidavit process in which people swear out criminal affidavits in their county against election officials for election fraud. And they have a numerous amount of early retirements, just simple resignations, in lieu of being prosecuted by the county sheriff. And there are some county sheriffs that would pursue this. His benchmark is to get 100 citizens in a county to sign the criminal affidavits. Then they're delivered to the sheriff. Soon, a prominent American sheriff, I won't name him until he becomes part of what we're doing, yours truly, hopefully some community leaders here in Arizona, and Paul Preston, we're going to have a network conversation about doing the same thing here in two counties in Arizona.
You know, but I ask, where does that go when it gets to a sheriff that doesn't want to proceed or doesn't, you know, budge or is one of these that's put in by Soros or such? You know what I mean?
Well, it's kind of like the golf shots I'm going to take tomorrow, okay? The first five or six might not go in the hole. The seventh or eighth may.
Oh, okay. I get you.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, you're at a party and trying to meet a girl, and the first three say no, and the fourth one is the one you marry.
Right. So, okay, well, yeah, just, you know, so obviously, you know, what is it? There's 99,000 counties or something like that in the United States, right? Or something to that degree. So that would mean X amount of sheriffs to that same number.
Back to your point of trying to think of the best way to say it, of decertifying the California election, this is where that's at now. They're picking it apart through the affidavit process, and it's picking up momentum. And these people are scared to death. People say a prayer for Paul Preston, because I think he definitely has a marker on his back.
Yeah, be careful. You know, don't cross him too hard. It's.
I think he's past the point of no return. Now he needs good fortune.
Well, you know, the thing is with all this is, well, I mean, is it going to gain enough momentum fast enough to happen before the 2024 election? Because once, you know, what did we say here? 2 more years down the road. God only knows where we're going to be, because, I mean, they're already talking about the 25th Amendment. Everybody's talking about the 25th Amendment because of, him over there in Poland. Biden, I'll just say it. What is it going to be? It's a little bit too late, what do you call it? You know what I mean? It's just too late. You know, if this doesn't happen soon, is there enough momentum, do you think? I mean, look, we already have 3 states that have come out and said, hey, you know, this election, there's something really wrong with it. And has there anything happened to it to that degree? Has there been a recount to the degree of what would have happened? You know,
well,
you know what I mean?
I'll give you one all 50. Let me tell you what I know about Wisconsin, okay, because this guy was on Tucker Carlson, so I saw the interview. He's a retired Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. And he said, we have enough evidence in 5 counties. He oversaw an investigation. We have evidence in 5 counties to overturn the results. And he gave example after example after example. This is a retired Wisconsin Supreme Court judge. This isn't, you know, someone who comes out of the woodwork like the fine people that have done that. And I do mean fine people, like myself, like Liz Harris, like Mike Lindell. People who've come out of the woodwork on their own to say, hey, there's something wrong here, and here's what we know, and here's what we can find out. This guy was part of the establishment, and he's coming out saying, this is cheating, and we need to overturn this. Okay, so the results go into the legislature, and a Republican who's the Speaker of the House in Wisconsin, his name is Moss, he says, that's good, yeah, looks good, we're not going to do anything with it.
Right. Yeah, what happens? I mean, how? I mean, if that isn't red tape or something, I mean, or just a flat out stonewall block, I don't know what else is. I mean, there's got to be some way to go beyond that. You know, my God, I don't have any answers. I wish I did. You know, I guess, what is it to the best of what we could say is the system's broke. Been broke for a real long time, or it's been just rigged beyond rigged. You know, now it's broke because they can't figure out what to do. You know, are they still going to use Dominion for the 2022 midterms?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Let me speak to that here in Yavapai County, and I got to think how much I want to say so I don't put a bullseye on my back. But let me put a search term in here real quick. Bear with me, audience. Here, I wasn't. The name of this person escapes me, but I want to give her all the credit she deserves. And I'm ready to jump into Yavapai County again, full-fledged, with some local activists there. Yavapai County clerk and recorder, and I should know her name. I've said it a million times, but you don't deal with something for a few weeks, and, you know, I guess my Joe Biden moment has arrived. And guess what? She doesn't appear on their homepage. How interesting. Anyway, she's a George Soros activist, funded by Soros. She's in the most conservative county in the United States. Okay, this is where... Remember the militia movement so many years ago? Mm-hmm. Michigan and Yavapai County is where you went to find this. That's how conservative this area. Now, these people are a little more refined now in their approach. Nothing wrong with militias. I'm just saying that she was, shall we say, the county clerk and recorder in the most conservative county in the country. Okay, her name is Leslie M. Hoffman. Herr Hoffman. How appropriate. So she was petitioned to get rid of the Dominion machines, and she told the people to go take a flying leap. We're having Dominion. She was also part of the group here. Let me find one of the county supervisors, and his name jumps out of my head. They had a deal where they were not even open for business as few as just a few months ago. COVID in a conservative county. And the sheriff wouldn't enforce the mask mandates and all this. This is the county where the Yavapai Regional Medical Center, a very globalist organization with globalist leaders, fired doctors, nurses, and even though now the restrictions are gone, they will not hire them back. And this is just beyond being ludicrous. I'll give you another story here too, and I got to be careful how much I say. One of the activists in this town, Mona Patton, and I've spoken to her group of about 400 people a couple of times. She is all over the fraud in her county. Conservative people, fraudulent government. And some of their county supervisors are really bad. Their prosecutors are the worst. Let's go back in time. The prosecutors in Yavapai County were the ones, and you may remember this case, John. Hunter Biden's in the Prescott Airport, and he's caught. His rental car has crack cocaine in the back seat with paraphernalia. Do you remember that?
I do remember that, yes.
And they let him go. These same prosecutors, now Karen Fan is from this county, and she was the head of the Arizona audit and couldn't have done a worse job intentionally on purpose. And in fact, she started out by saying, well, we don't care what we find. We're not going to overturn the election. What?
I wonder if some of these people may have some offshore bank accounts or Switzerland bank accounts
what I know and there's what I should not say. But let me continue.
Right,
I
don't want to go any. Okay, go ahead.
Let me continue down this route. Okay. Mona finds money laundering going on from at least one or more of the public officials. Suspected money laundering. $20,000 plots of land selling for $500,000. And she tells me about it. We can't name a source, although we're pretty sure we know. And we know the organizations involved, we think. But we even agreed, you know, what can we do with this? And so we decided to leave it alone, but the other side didn't like it. Mona had to go into the county clerk and recorder's office. Oh, here we go again, home of Leslie Hoffman. Now, I can't prove she had anything to do with it, but it is interesting that after Mona pulled some of these records, and this is told to me after the fact, I had no idea this was going on. I was not part of this investigation. You know how I found out? I went to speak at Mona's group in November, and a county sheriff walked up to me and said, Mr. Hodges, I'm here to protect you. And we have two guys out here in the audience. Blah. I'm thinking, protect me? This is Yavapai County. I don't need protection. Well, it turns out that some people who ran that speaking event thought I did, even though I didn't know what I'm about to tell you. So Mona and her boyfriend pull these records. And she calls me about it. And I said, there's nothing we can really do about it because we don't have a hot trail. But I do agree it looks suspicious. Okay, so shortly after that, and this is before my speaking engagement, Mona returns home with her boyfriend, and there's someone there waiting and tries to kill both of them. The boyfriend gets shot in the head with a glancing blow, aimed the gun at Mona, and the gun jammed, or she'd be dead. The person that got shot with the glancing blow maintained consciousness long enough to get a shot back. Fortunately, he was concealed carry. Hit the assailant in the stomach and the hip.
Good.
Okay. The local policeman from Chino County, Chino Valley, I should say, it's a city within Yavapai County, said it was attempted first-degree murder. Okay? Now, this is March the 4th. Sure. This event happened at the end of October. No charges have been brought of this nature against this assailant. The same prosecutors who let Hunter Biden get a walk.
Wow.
Do I need to say any more?
Oh, that's heavy.
And what
that's
we heavy. Think triggered it was Mona pulling these records.
Right.
Unfortunately, we can't do anything with these records. I mean, we get sued because we can't prove our case. But the bottom line is we think this is what triggered the attack, because it was within a week she got ambushed at her home.
That's wild. Man.
What do you think about story?
That's heavy. I mean, that's over the top of the target. I mean, you don't get no more over the top of the target until, you know, you start catching the real flak. I mean, and I'm talking bullets or, you know, something equivalent. That's wild. And
yeah.
That's what it would have to be. I mean, you can't look at it any other way.
Well, we know from the conduct of the election officials in Yavapai County, from what I've learned by people looked into it, Trump carried Yavapai County heartily. I think he got 60-some percent of the vote. But they believe that about 20% was siphoned off and spread throughout the state. In other words, to water down the Trump victory in that county. And if you lived in Arizona when the election was going on, you know that Biden couldn't have got 30% of the vote. Impossible. Right. Impossible.
Same here. I mean, you know, the caucuses, no chance, not a chance in anything. I mean, he had no chance anywhere. He wasn't going anywhere. He had nobody showing up. You know, I mean, the demographics of just watching the, the rallies or extreme lack thereof rallies on Biden's behalf. Everybody knew who was going to win until, you know, we went to bed that night and woke up the next morning. What the hell happened?
Well, until they stop counting and then they start stuffing the ballot. See, both of our Arizona senators were both trailing going into the midnight hour in both of their elections, Mark Kelly and Kyrsten Sinema. Until they stopped the counting, same pattern, and the ballot dump was made. And the excuse was, well, the ballots came from an urban area, mostly Democratic. It's always that story. Always that story.
Now, this is my big question about all of this. Who made that phone call? And how did that phone call go out across the entire nation, unheard by anybody? I mean, and I'm going to tell you, and it wasn't just not unheard by anybody. I'm going to tell you, the NSA has all that information. You know, who, when, where, and how, and would that go down? I mean, that's a big operation. I mean, that's a really big operation, you know?
Now, since we're on the topic here, because we kind of drifted into the voter fraud issue, let me answer your question this way. And if I'm off target, ask the question again.
Okay.
In October of last year, or October of the election year, 2020, Maricopa County voter files were breached on the computer. No announcement was made prior to the election. No announcement was made until people like Liz Harris discovered it independently. And then they had to write a letter. The county clerk and recorder had to write a letter saying, well, this happened, but no information was compromised, no effect on the election. Really? So you get all these voter rolls, and you can tell who voted last. So John Doe has not voted since 2003, but all of a sudden he voted in this election. Liz Harris, she deserves credit. She got so many death threats, I'm not even sure she's part of the process anymore. But Liz Harris went around and she canvassed tens of thousands of homes in Maricopa County. She said, I don't want to know who you voted for, but I want to know if this voter lives here and if you can tell me if they voted. And what she most often heard was, no, they haven't lived here for 12 years, 15 years, 20 years, and we have no idea if they voted. But the fact is they weren't at the registration site for the address.
Right, and it's, you know, we don't even know if they're even alive.
So what they did was they took all these people that were either out of state, moved, or were dead, and turned them into Democratic votes. Did I answer your question?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, and it's interesting to dovetail into this. You know, I changed parties to Republican during the 2020 election because I saw what the other side was, and, you know, I'm not ashamed to mention to say that, okay? Because, look, it's not your granddaddy's Democratic Party as it was before, you know.
And the Republicans either. Listen,
right.
You have, because you've got Liz Cheney and Mitt Romney and other turds like them in the Senate, you don't have a Republican majority. But, you know, when I used to coach athletes and when I played myself, I always believe you go out and give your best effort regardless of what the odds are. You could be playing the best team, you know, in the state, and they're better than you, but you go out and you never know what's going to happen. Okay, so what I say here is that You have enough on Biden to impeach him right now. Criminal neglect at the border and ancillary crimes as a result of that neglect, like child sex trafficking, fentanyl trafficking, and so forth. There's enough to take Biden out of office right now. And only now are we beginning to hear a little discussion from the jackasses in the Republican Party. Jordan speaking up now, Ted Cruz. We might have to impeach after the election when we win. What if you don't win? See, you should be drawing up articles of impeachment right now so the public can see what the administration's guilty of.
Absolutely. You know, and I wanted to mention this, you know, as I was saying, I switched parties. You know, I got one mail-in voter registration slip, as you should. You should be, you get one. Now, the other half of me, she got three in the mail. And she's, you know, still a registered Democrat, but she don't give a you know, one way about either way about any of it. She don't care. She just doesn't care. It's not her thing, you know, politics. So, but it was interesting. It's like, okay, you got three of these? She goes, yeah. I opened up one, took a look at it, and read it. Yeah, these are registration slips for, you know, mail-in ballots. So I opened up one, took the other one, left it sealed, and it's still sealed, and I have it. You know why, right? As long as that stays sealed, well, somebody had to touch them papers and there to put them in there. So that's preservation of evidence. And I've got the third one, which I opened as well to see if it was the same documentation which came in the other ones, and it was. So that adds to just that many more numbers of people that they were trying to get to, you know, to swing the vote, you know, well in advance. Like, you know, you answered my question on that a few minutes ago. I just wanted to mention that, and, you know, and it makes me wonder how many other people across the country got the exact same thing, or if not more, you know, or less.
Well, my sister-in-law's husband got 7 Democratic ballots mailed to him.
Oh my God! Wow.
I mean, this is common. This isn't anything unusual, and the audit itself was as fraudulent as you can get. The head of the audit, right, Karen Fan, you know. Liz Harris was speaking at a Tea Party meeting that I'll be speaking to in about 6 weeks, and she came out and she said there are about 21 areas that need to be subpoenaed for evidence, and she's only going after 4. Please call her and tell her to do her job. Now, I'm paraphrasing what was said by Liz Harris, but that's effectively what she meant. When I broke my story that the election officials in the precincts did not have the election codes for the voting machines, Dominion retained them. This is what they told me. And then I said they never reported the voter registration fraud when they hacked the voter rolls. And I went on to talk about the ballot dumps, and there were unsecured ballots that were delivered to precinct centers, and they were eyewitnesses that saw it. There's even videotapes that exist of it. And so I'm printing these 5 things the way the election was stolen on May the 12th of last year. And within 24 hours of putting this on my website, people that were part of the audit were calling colleagues of mine, like Sarah Westall, Dave Hodges is ruining your credibility. How dare you print his article? And Paul Preston got a death threat. He said, Dave Hodges is going to get you killed. You keep following what he's saying. Kind of the wrong guy to do, though, since Paul Preston's after the California election himself. What's interesting, John, about this whole thing is the audit that was supposed to uncover stuff. The people need to hear this. This was true in Atlanta, in Fulton County. This is true, for the most part, in Milwaukee and Pennsylvania. These audits are the fraudits. These clown politicians that are cheaters and liars and traitors, they put their little subordinate friends in charge, and they just rubber stamp a corrupt election.
Right, absolutely. You know, can I shift gears a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely, sure.
It's kind of to the same token and the same tone of what's taking place with the voter fraud to, you know, a kind of a different area. So Russia had sold its stake in Uranium One. Now, for those out there that don't know what Uranium One was.
Oh, I know where you're going. HRC, baby, HRC.
That's right, HRC. Okay. And I want to mention the Malheur Wildlife National Refuge and the murder of LaVoy Finicum, okay? For selling out the land right for uranium mining to go through Uranium One to be shipped over to Rosatom, which is Russia's nuclear agency. So this is all interesting how all this, you know, the deck of cards just, man, it's just falling, you know, the house of cards for these people is just falling apart. You know, do you build on sand? So, yes. So Russia sold its stake in Uranium One shortly before invading Ukraine, the same company Clinton's helped turn over to the Russians. Yes.
Explain the connection to the average person that doesn't get it yet.
Well, I'm refining your question as in...
Okay. Let me tell the story this way.
Okay.
On Ammon Bundy, his dad, mm-hmm. Clive and Bundy.
Right.
When the Bundy conflict with the BLM started...
Down in Nevada.
Yeah, in Nevada. The Chinese were involved. And
Harry Reid.
Harry Reid's son Peter was paid $5 million by the Chinese to set up solar energy farms on that land.
That's right.
Also, uranium was taken off that land as part of the Uranium One deal, courtesy of the BLM. And they started outlawing the use of certain parts of the land for Bundy. And he said, up your right. nose with a rubber hose. And this is what led to the standoff. Mm-hmm. They said, well, we'll just force you off your land altogether. What the Bundys did not know then, and I know because I interviewed family member a couple times, I interviewed Ammon early on in the process, but what they didn't know at the time was the Chinese involvement with the Hillary Clinton deal and Uranium One. And I mm-hmm. had to point out to him, I said, hey, guys, this is all about Hillary Clinton getting Uranium One in an act of treason. I mean, we executed the Rosenbergs in the 1950s for giving nuclear secrets to the Russians. And here Hillary Clinton is giving it to them in the form of weapons-grade uranium, courtesy of Hillary Clinton. She should be executed the same way the Rosenbergs were for the same crime. So
absolutely. On the behest of John Kerry as well.
Yeah, but look at the BLM. The BLM is akin to treason. This is the Obama administration. Okay? Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about cutting off Uranium One, let's go to your comment now. Now that we've given some background on this, go to your comment. Why is this significant that the Russians divested themselves of Uranium One before they attacked Ukraine? What do you make of that?
Because it would cut any paper ties that would, you know, tie them to anything else that would be in between the, going afters over there, right? So they don't have any more of a paper trail tied to them, but they have enough dirt built up on them, so therefore they can sit on the information and or release it at a time that's appropriate, speaking about the Russians and the information they have. Is that good?
So let me see if I get it. The Russians are distancing themselves from their involvement with Uranium One. By the way, this was reported in the New York Times. This is when I first found out about it. They weren't supposed to print this, and why in the hell they did. And they just mentioned Hillary and uranium, and I go, holy shit, uranium? Are you kidding me? Nuclear weapons to Russia? Are you kidding me? And that's when I jumped all over this, and I realized it was a lot more. In fact, you know what else we have on this? Who was the clown that ran the investigation on the Russia collusion delusion on Trump? Former FBI head?
Robert Mueller.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Robert Mueller, we've got it in two documents. One was called the Rostov Memo of Russia, and one is a State Department memo that got leaked. And they both named Robert Mueller as the first American to deliver Hillary Clinton's uranium to Russia at a Moscow airport.
Wasn't it John Kerry?
John Kerry was delivered part of it, too, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I knew of John Kerry. I didn't know Mueller was hand-delivering the fission material himself, either. I didn't know that. But I knew Kerry was, you know. And on top of that, I mean, you could all, you know, Kerry, he could be up for, what is that, that charge, the Logan Act. You know, a lot of these people could be up for the Logan Act if it would just be used.
No, I couldn't agree with you more. But here's my point. You're saying now that Russia divested themselves. To me, did Russia divest or did Hillary Clinton? I think it was probably Hillary.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think of that. Yeah, she probably was like, hey, man. Yeah,
if I'm going to be president, I can't be tied to Russia's nuclear arsenal.
Right. Absolutely. But on the backside of that, now they need to get rid of Vlad Putin because he's got all the information. The FSB has all the information on all the dirty dealings that they were doing over there.
Which is why Vladimir Putin went to the biolabs, so now they've got Eco Alliance and Fauci and all these people implicated.
Right, Metabiota and, you know, Seneca, you know, Hunter's company. I mean, yeah, and this is a, man, this is, I mean, what could you call this? I mean, is this the crime not only of the century, but the crime of eternity? I mean, this is something else, man. I mean, to see this for what it really is.
If people go back and will search engine Hillary Clinton and Uranium One on my website, they will find the Rostov memo. I published it. They'll find the State Department memo. I published it. And Robert Mueller was the delivery agent. He's a traitor. And isn't it interesting? I want people to recognize the fraud in this. Trump's in bed with Russia. Russia stole the election. Russia this, Russia that. He's a Russian agent. And the whole time, Mueller and Clinton were making sure Russia was getting uranium for their nuclear weapons.
You know, it makes me think of this. I'm going to add something to this to make a question as to, you know, could they possibly be going to be doing this next thing? So Gordon Duff wrote up an article on his site, and it was in reference to 9/11. And what he'd come to find out is there was some moving around of fission material that was taken over to the Middle East. And it bounced around a few different places. It finally made its way back on the East Coast at a military air base. And a few days later, the Twin Towers were turned in and reduced into a pile of rubble.
I've heard this very thing, yep.
And I think, what is it, Patriots Today? Is that the Gordon's site, I think?
Oh, you mean Veterans Today?
Yeah, Veterans Today. Thank you. Thank you, Dave. And so nonetheless, so that happened then in 9/11. Is this not the same thing we're seeing happen right now? I mean, I'm just posing the question, Dave, to where they get the fission material out of the country, sent to another country, refined, turned into a full-fledged weapon, and then brought back in to do a false flag to continue their narrative. You know, see, what they're doing with all this, what they do, or I mean, by God, you can look at you can see the plays they're playing. We can look right through their playbook, how they're stationing, how they're going about doing this and these things. It's the same thing with AIDS and this COVID-19. And I guess from what I'm hearing, many people that have gotten the triple shot, you know, or the triple death shot or whatever you want to call it, the jab, the stab, the vaccination, a lot of them are turning up, HIV positive.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Exactly right.
You know, so everything they do is in tandem. That, you know, they just do it in a different way. I mean, so what are we looking at? Are we looking at the United States possibly hitting with a false flag of, two cities completely wiped off the face of the map?
It's going to be bigger than that. You know, you start with Biden. Build Back Better is a World Economic Forum term. Biden has complete indifference to America. You look at, he left 9,000 Americans behind in Afghanistan. He's wrecked our economy. People can't afford to drive to work. They can't afford to put food on the table. Now he's saying there's going to be food shortages that his energy policies are causing. I could go on and on and on. In fact, I like to ask Democrats, and I would challenge the audience to do the same thing. Have them name one thing that he's done to improve your status in life. There isn't one thing. Right. Now, no. Build Back Better is a World Economic Forum term. And when it got discovered, all of a sudden they dropped using the term because they didn't want the link with the conspiracy. But I published a partial list the other day. Tom Cotton, World Economic Forum Young Global Leaders Program Training. Tulsi Gabbard, who is a false flag conservative who's going to, I believe, start a third party to split the Republican vote in 2024. So she's pretending to be a conservative now, but she was trained by Klaus Schwab. And I could go through all these Republicans, all these Democrats, big tech, almost all the big tech are part of the Young Leaders Global Training Program. Trudeau was.
I got a question. Do you know if Jen Psaki is on that by
yes.
chance?
Yes.
She is? Okay.
Yes.
Then from there, people need to look into, like I've been saying, this shadowy firm just down the road from the Situation Room there at the White House, West Executive. Because she's involved with West Executive and 28 people within Biden's cabinet are from West Executive. I just wanted to throw that out there because that's another, avenue that branches off this street we're walking down. because so West Executive, which I think is basically the White House, is under control from these new global leaders. And who else is on the new global leaders or the young global leaders list? Ivanka Trump.
Oh, yeah, she's right at the top of that. And her husband is a $5 billion business partner with George Soros, who's part of the World Economic Forum.
Right, and he bought 666 Fifth Avenue. And he's the one that's doing the peace deal with the Middle East. Whatever happened to Kushner? He's like completely disappeared.
No, but he's still active. He still does work with Soros.
Huh, I just hadn't seen or heard anything of him for a little while, I guess.
Trump self-destructed. Ivanka should have been banned from the White House with Jared Kushner from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Their associations were known. A lot of us talked about it. We didn't know why. Daddy's little girl. Well, you can be daddy's little girl in 4 years, and that's what should have happened.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, well, his cabinet was just infiltrated by too many people at the beginning, and, you know, even to the degree, I mean, look, I like Michael Flynn. I really do. But look, he was involved with them people just as much, you know, and he had to deal with them and work with them. But, I mean, look, I really like him. I think he's a good guy. I think he's standing up for what's right and saying, hey, man, things are pretty messed up. And he had to do what he had to do while he was in there being a general. I mean, even to Petraeus. Look at Petraeus. Where's he at? He's completely, you know, is he laying on a beach somewhere sipping pina coladas right now, you know? I mean, he's completely out of the limelight.
He was too busy betraying us. Pun intended.
Right. Yeah, betray us.
He was a traitor.
Right.
He was definitely a traitor.
You know, and that gets back to, what's his name? He got killed. Mr. Mercedes blew up on the street.
Oh, the reporter?
Yeah. The name's
Michael Hastings.
Michael Hastings, right. And then what was it, Bloomberg or something like that as well, that was working with Hastings on a big story? You know, I want to say it was Bloomberg. I might be mistaken or wrong. But, you know, just look at all of this. Isn't
Hastings,
this just something to be
Hastings had data on Obama and illegal dealings in Afghanistan. He was on his way to the Israeli embassy for protection in L.A. when he was hit by a little missile from a drone. That was tracking him.
Well, did you see that? You know, I mean, the missile from the drone, what looked very kind of reminiscent to that? Well, that's that thing that took out Soleimani, right?
This is exactly what it was. But, you know, it's interesting. His wife's reaction to me, that was when I first saw her, she was hysterical, making allegations. And then 3 days later, I saw her on a San Diego station because we're out there on vacation, and she was saying, well, he knew the risks and totally changed, divorced herself. Someone got to her, and it's kind of like, well, we know where your kids walk to school, and I'm sure she got that talk.
Right.
Yeah, the stuff that Hastings had on Obama was damning. And a lot of it had to do with how they weren't just satisfied with being in Afghanistan. They wanted to start a world war in Syria, which the Russia thing is part two Syria. Basically, Obama was trying to justify attacking Iran, hoping that would bring in Russia and start the Third World War. This was Obama's goal. Hillary Clinton echoed that in debate number two in the presidential debates when she said, if I'm president, I'll issue a no-fly zone, and that would have brought us right into World War III with Russia. That happened in Syria, same as it would now in Ukraine.
Yeah, Putin said he was going to attack if she got into office.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So it's, you know, these people, this is what I think the citizens of the planet need to understand. We have entered a dark age of global leadership that's controlled. Mm-hmm. From Ardern, the New Zealand psychopathic prime minister, to even Putin. Putin was part of the world young global leaders training program. They've now scrubbed him from the membership list, but he was on it. I've got the hard copy. But all of these leaders, John, are under the control of the world economic philosophy, or they don't last. And there's even a bigger story here. BlackRock is their financial instrument. Mm-hmm. And people are going to find this hard to believe, and I'm still working on this story, but Chris Kitsey brought this to my attention. BlackRock probably controls 40 to 50% of all world finance. And this is why the woke movement, you know, I look at these organizations like the NBA, they're way down in attendance and TV viewing, and the NCAA tournament is too, and yet they had the trans male swimmer pretending to be a woman kind of thing, despite all I mean, the NCAA has taken a beating. In fact, their shows, a lot of their tournaments have been on obscure minor stations because their ratings are so bad. And then the NBA, the NFL, they're all down. But I found out when I looked into this, and Chris really opened my eyes to this, what I found here was we're out of time. That's going to be a cliffhanger, John. We're going to have to come back and do this. I'll come on your show.
I'll say one thing. Black Rock, Black Cube. Go ahead. Yeah.
And on that note, my friend, I can't believe the time got away. Oh, we were on a roll. What a great show. John, we got to go. Talk to you later.
Thank you. Godspeed, Dave.